Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. The one was wise and a cheery soul. The other one took a gloomy view and bade his friend a sad adieu. Said the other frog with a merry grin, "I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll swim around till my strength is spent, then I will die the more content." And as he swam, though ever it seemed, his struggling began to churn the cream. Until on top of pure butter he stopped, and out of the bowl he quickly hopped. The moral you ask, oh, it's easily found. If you can't get out, keep swimming around. Yeah. So we are excited to talk about some frogs today, all right? That's what that's all about. Today we got frogs. We got frogs hopping around everywhere. And we are deep into the account of Moses in Exodus, leading his people out of slavery, getting them set free from the Pharaoh of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 8, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go back to Pharaoh and announce to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs across your entire land. The Nile River will swarm with frogs. They will come up out of the river and into your palace, even into your bedroom and onto your bed. They will enter the houses of your officials and your people. They will even jump into your ovens and your kneading bowls. Frogs will jump on you, your people, and all your officials.'" One of my favorite stories in the Bible. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, raise the staff in your hand over all the rivers, canals, and ponds of Egypt, and bring up frogs all over the land.' So Aaron raised his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the whole land. But the magicians were able to do the same thing with their magic. They too caused frogs to come up out of the land of Egypt." And just pause here for a minute. Why, if they had the power, didn't they just stop the frogs instead of making more frogs? It seems dumb to me. But it's because they couldn't. It's because they couldn't. Verse 8, "Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged," this is a shift, "'plead with the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. I will let your people go so they can offer sacrifices to the Lord.' 'You set the time,' Moses replied. 'Tell me when you want me to pray for you, for your officials and your people. Then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs. They will remain only in the Nile River.' 'Do it tomorrow,' Pharaoh said. 'All right,' Moses replied. 'It will be as you have said. Then you will know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will remain only in the Nile River.' So Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh's palace, and Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had inflicted on Pharaoh. And the Lord did just as Moses had predicted. The frogs in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields all died. The Egyptians piled them into great heaps, and a terrible stench filled the land. But when Pharaoh saw that relief had come, he became stubborn. He refused to listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had predicted." Here is a fascinating story in the Exodus account. In verse 3, it said the Nile River will swarm with frogs, and that the frogs will then come up out of the river and invade every place. Now, the frogs in the story represent another god or goddess, as we talked about recently, with all of these miraculous signs representing power encounters with the false gods. And this goddess, this frog goddess, was named Heket. In Egyptian religious life, it was an important goddess. Here, the allegedly divine river now betrays them by sending frogs up out of the river to bring misery upon the Egyptians. It's almost the comical break in the story, the frog plague, the frog sign. And it shows that God is far superior to each and every god in Egypt. Now, if we can just be honest for a minute, when Moses said, "Frogs are coming after you," I can't imagine that Pharaoh was freaking out at all. I don't normally think of frogs as terrifying creatures. As you look up on the screen, they're so cute. There's cute little frogs. Just cute little frogs. I don't really think of them as terrifying creatures. But when you get them all together by the hundreds of thousands or millions of frogs all around, it would obviously be a horrible experience. Several years ago, I went camping with my oldest daughter, Kyla, and we got a nice spot by a pond. And at about bedtime, an unrelenting chorus of frogs chirping all night. I did not sleep at all that night. I hated frogs after that night. Interestingly enough, this frog infestation is the first time that Pharaoh started to pay attention. All of a sudden, Pharaoh is interested in what's going on because it has impacted him personally. So far, he has had a staff turn into a snake and eat up his snakes. The Nile River turned to blood, but somehow he managed to navigate through that without it impacting him. And now there's some frogs. Clearly, God's trying to get his attention. He keeps coming back to get Pharaoh's attention. And so, let me ask you today, has God been trying to get your attention? Is there anything in your life that God has been sending your way to get your attention? Or are there things in your life that perhaps the enemy has been train wrecking your life with, and God's trying to say, hey, you should pay attention to that? Ask your neighbor, has God been trying to get your attention? If you said no, you should rethink your answer, okay? If you said no. Question here. Do you have some frogs hopping around in your life? And I don't mean the cute ones. Some frogs may be causing you some issues. Have you been kissing some frogs, hoping they'll turn into princes? Come on now, tell the truth. Shame the devil, tell the truth. Have you been so distracted by the things of this world, by the challenges of this life, that you just flat out forgot to take care of first things first? Those are frogs. Sometimes the frogs can easily remind you that it's time to get back on track. In that sense, frogs are your friends. So pay attention to them. They're reminders. You're off track. Get back on track. When I was younger, I lived near a stream in a pond, and as a kid, I would go out and I would catch frogs. And do you know what happens when you catch a wild frog? When you pick it up, that little toad will pee on you. Okay? That little toad will pee all over you. It's a rookie mistake. All right? Once you become a seasoned frog catcher, you know you have to catch the frogs from the top, let it pee on nothing, all right, or on your friends, even better. You hold it from the top. So here's the principle of this illustration. Let's just say the next time the frogs of life show up at your house, don't play with the frogs. That's right. Don't play with them because they will pee on you, all right? Don't let the frogs pee on you. It's a very important spiritual lesson, I know. Okay? This is exactly what takes place when we don't let these moments remind us to get back on track. In verse 8, it says that Pharaoh, after being frustrated, the Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and begged, plead with the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people. I will let your people go so they can make sacrifices to the Lord. So right now, Pharaoh is asking Moses to pray for him. This is brand new. This is new for Pharaoh. He has not done this before. He's asking Pharaoh to cry out to God on his behalf and upon the Egyptian people. Apparently, in the last few days of this frog infestation, Pharaoh has come to some level of belief in God or in the power of the God of Moses, and he's ready to acknowledge that power on some level. However, this is not a conversion. It's not like Pharaoh is now like a full-scale believer. He still wants to worship the gods of Egypt. He just wants to make a deal. He doesn't really want to surrender. He doesn't want to obey. He doesn't want to trust God. Pharaoh just wants to come to God on his own terms. Pharaoh has been personally affected by the frogs, by these signs. And the truth is, he just wants the discomfort to end. He wants the pain to stop, at least for a while. And so he reaches out to make a deal. And he wants to tell God what the deal is going to look like. Does that sound familiar? Has anybody ever done that in life? Where you want the discomfort to stop, but you want to go to God on your own terms. You want to make a deal with God. But God is not interested in making a deal here with Pharaoh. He's not, because God is not just one of many gods, but he's the King of all kings. He's the God of all gods. And so Moses can tell that something's up here. And so Moses tests him with this response. Listen carefully. Moses says, "You set the time. Tell me when you want me to pray for you." And what does Pharaoh say? "Do it tomorrow." What? A whole nother night with the chirping frogs jumping in your bed? This does not make any sense at all. Do it tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Why not tonight? Why not at this exact second? Because these frogs are driving me crazy. Why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? It seems fundamentally ridiculous that Pharaoh says, "Let's do it tomorrow." I think he's stalling. And I think you know exactly what he's doing. He's still trying to be in charge. And maybe you can relate to that idea. You want it to stop. You want to go in the right direction, but you still want to be in charge. Pharaoh is hoping, I think, that he can come up with a solution overnight before Moses can. And maybe you've had a moment like that. A moment when you knew exactly what you were supposed to do. A moment when it was time to let something go. But you still wanted to hang on just a little bit longer. But what about now? Is there anything today that you're holding on to that you know isn't good for you? You know it's not right. You know it's holding you back. But you keep putting off this decision moment until tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow when you have the opportunity to do it today. Sometimes it's things like this. Sometimes it's just getting your financial life in order. And so you keep putting it off until tomorrow. Well, tomorrow I'll do it, or next week I'll do it, next year when I turn 30 I'll do it, when I get a little bit older I'll do it. But isn't it interesting how tomorrow never comes? Or other times it's not money, other times it's a relationship, it's an improper relationship that has gotten a hold of you you've become somehow entangled into something and you know you shouldn't, but you keep going back to it. And you send that late night text and pretend that you're just teasing, but you're lying to yourself and you know it. You promise yourself that you'll let it go tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. What about that thing that you're just trying to overcome and you can't, and you say to yourself, "Well, I can stop whenever I want," right? But isn't it interesting that whenever you want is always tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes? I believe this. I believe that God has a breakthrough for you. A breakthrough in your life that's available every single day. The question is always, as Moses posed to Pharaoh, when would you like to do this? When would you like God to give you that breakthrough? Do we insist on being Pharaoh? Let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it tomorrow at 6. When we could do it right now. I would encourage you, don't just keep saying, do it tomorrow. Don't just run yourself into that Pharaoh response. But instead, learn to cry out from the deep within your spirit and say to God, God, I need a breakthrough. I want a breakthrough, and I want it right now. Not later, not tomorrow, not next week. And you make that decision and you go. And you say, it's time to get rid of these frogs. Now, I surrender. It's critically important in our everyday life. So here's what's fascinating. God goes ahead and responds to this delay. So the delay, it happens tomorrow. Moses prays, and the frogs, they all die. They gather up all the frogs. It creates a horrible stench. Verse 15. Remember what the deal was? The deal was Pharaoh said, hey, if you get rid of the frogs, I'll let your people go so that they can go worship the Lord. Is this going to happen? No chance is this really going to happen. Verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that relief had come, he became stubborn. This is one of the worst verses in the Bible. It really is. When relief had come, Pharaoh becomes stubborn, hard-hearted. He changed his mind. He went back to his old ways. He had a moment. He had a powerful and very real encounter moment where he asked God for help, even underneath some weird delay tactics and some weird deal-making. He still reached out to God, and God still responded. He almost made it. He almost let God take over. He almost surrendered himself to God. But the moment he felt better, he passed it off. Just the moment he felt better, the things of this world sucked him right back in. The power, the prestige, the money, his reputation. He absolutely preferred his own chaos and his own disorder to the rightness and order of God. He gets what he wants from God, and then he immediately turns his back on God. And how many times have we ever been like Pharaoh? Cried out to God while there was trouble, but once relief arrives, it's back to the normal grind. It's as if we learned the exact same lesson over and over, or we're not learning it. We're doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. We are streetwise and spiritually poor, dealing with the roller coasters of the consequences of trying to pull God in and then walking away. As the worship team comes up, Jesus once told a story about a farmer that was planting seeds. And some of the seeds did really well and they grew and it was great, but some of the seeds did not do so well at once they started to grow. And afterwards, Jesus explained the story like this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. It says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. So those seeds didn't do well. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. I want to challenge each and every one today. Don't let life crowd out Jesus. When some frogs show up in your life, take a moment and reflect. And say, I need to get back on track. Don't delay it. Don't keep casting it off till tomorrow. Do it now. Do it now. And when God shows up, when God intervenes,
Don't get sucked back in. Don't get sucked back into all the drama that this world has. Jesus calls us all to a life of freedom and healing. Sometimes he reminds us by sending us a couple frogs. Let's make sure that his message doesn't get crowded out. I'm going to ask everybody to stand up here today. The worship team is going to close us in just a moment. But let me ask, do you have some frogs today that you need to get rid of? Maybe you're looking to God for some relief. Are you going to let God do it today? Or are you going to keep pushing it off until tomorrow? In these moments, the choice is always ours. God's always willing to show up. God's always willing to provide breakthrough in our life. Are we willing to let him do it today? Are we willing to let him do it now? So whatever the situation is that you're dealing with today, whatever the moment is that you're working through today, would you take some time this morning, not let the rearrangement of the room distract you? Would you just take some moment today and let God intervene now in your life? The altars are open. The worship team will lead us in this. Let's spend some time in prayer. Father, today, I am continually impressed and amazed at your patience with us. That even when we reach out to you, even in flawed ways, you respond. God, today I ask for each and every person here that wants to address an issue, that wants a breakthrough in their life right now instead of tomorrow. God, I ask that today that will occur. I ask that you will start a process in this very moment. I ask that you will speak to their minds and their spirit. I ask that the situations that are in front of them, seemingly insurmountable, God, I ask that you'll take that mountain and you'll throw it into the sea.
Yes.
I ask that you will create within their, deep within their spirit, God, I ask that you would give them vision and insight and understanding that they have not had before, that they did not learn, but it came directly from you. So God, today, as we go out of this place, I ask that you will go before us and we will follow you carefully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.